So what a beautiful place we have come to. The peace, tranquility and serenity is all around us. And one of the best places to commune with the Creator is in Gaia, the purity of Gaia. And the rivers that flow down these mountains have trickled down from the glaciers. The frozen waters that hold the ancient energies, just like time capsules. And as the glacier waters melt and trickle down, those ancient energies and the purity trickle down with it into the foothills and down into this beautiful place that we are sitting in. So let's give thanks to Gaia, to the purity that Gaia has to offer us, where it makes it so easy to connect with the creative source. And it makes it so easy for us to be in harmony and to go inside, finding that peace within us that has that same exact purity as the glacial waters of the Himalayas.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. I want to take a moment for you to feel the serenity. You're in the foothills of the Himalayas. Dharamshala is where the Tibetan government is in exile and His Holiness the Dalai Lama has his home. It is a precious place and you can feel the energy of this, all of it. There is so much that I could give you at this point about the way things work. We'll give it to you in pieces, so it makes sense. Sometimes the things that I tell you are not necessarily the full belief of those who live here. And if that is so today, it is because new energy is upon this planet, and that changes some of the basic principles that they teach here and always have. Again, we say, doesn't it make sense that as the relationship to the Creator begins to change and be closer, that some of the attributes of the systemic things that you've learned would also change their paradigm? There is synchronicity afoot, and you'll know more about that in a moment. I would like to talk in this brief channeling about the Akash. We do this for a reason. For the Akash is something that is known by almost every citizen of this land. The Akashic record, the amount of lifetimes and energy, is a staple of belief. I would love to give you some information, some of which I've done before. But in this energy, it's even more profound. Each one of you has a record of lifetimes on the planet. Most of you here are old souls. And in this new energy, there is an awakening. An awakening to your old soul energy. Many will come on a tour like this one and have only discovered the Kryon work recently, but it resounds to them, because the truth, dear ones, of the creative source is something that is built to resound to the truth in you. We've talked about the match between the God in you, and the truth of what is here and how things work. If it's true that you have records of lifetimes inside you, how does it work? We've given you information in the past about the comings and goings of humanity, about the cave of creation, about the crystalline. That's not going to be repeated. Instead, I want you to know personally how this beautiful system of the Akashic Record works in each of you. You wish to linearize all things that sound like a library. And the Akashic Record sounds like a library. And so some of you will visualize bookshelves, perhaps, stories of your lives arranged in linear fashion and ready for you to open and view, perhaps through Akashic readers or perhaps through enlightenment. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every single lifetime, when it goes into the Akashic Record, is no longer single. The Akashic Record is a soup, and it's one thing. With all of the energies of all of the lifetimes and all of the things that you have learned and experienced, it is a non-linear package. This makes it difficult, if not impossible, to read, unless you know how. And the past life readers who have dedicated the energy to be able to do this will smile when I tell you this. They're not reading books. They are reading energy. And the energy they read comes right from you in many, many ways. Kryon, do you mean to say that the Akashic Record has no organization? Dear ones, oh yes it does, but not linearly. No linear organization. It has a quantum organization. It's not a list. It is difficult to explain anything that is multidimensional to a quantum mind. But let me give you the basic. How is it organized that you would understand? And the answer is by karmic group. Now, what this means, dear ones, is that the karma that you have in the culture that you have normally responds to a next lifetime and will bring you back to the same group that you left. And in the past, karma worked this way for a reason. Some will say that it's unfinished business. It's not exactly that. Good karma and bad karma are also a misnomer, an incorrect phrase. Truly, there is no good and bad. There is simply energy which is higher and lower of a learning essence. Some of you will come back to enjoy that which is a seed you've sowed in the past. In other words, you've earned something, and you come back, and there it is. Some of you have unfinished business because there are things that took place in the lifetime that you would come back and finish. And you might say, well, that then was a low consciousness or a negative karma. Oh, really? Let me ask you this. What if your partner dies in the last lifetime and you both come back and you find him or her again? Oh, is that a negative karma? That's unfinished business. There's a lot of categories that you could look at. Then we've told you many times, over 20 years ago, that the new energy is going to start creating a new paradigm of karma. That in an old energy, karma was needed to push you and pull you. And now there is no real need for it, old soul. Instead, think of this. You come back in fresh, and the karma that you developed in many lifetimes can be dropped. Why would you do such a thing? And the reason is because you are now in control of the light, of the things that you will go and do and perceive and have intuition. You will not miss out on things that you would have had that are good and positive, because your new intuitive light, your enlightenment, will steer you to the places that will be the most benevolent, will be the most healing, the one that would give you the most youth. If you are on board with the basic premise of turning inward into the oneness of yourself, which we call the realization of self. Who are you? What are you here for? What is that which is the intuitive thought that you have? And that's when the Akash really starts to speak. Now, some of you have been told that the Akash is responsible for several things in your life that push and pull you around. Indeed, even without karma. If you had a past lifetime where you drowned, the chances are you won't want to be in water. And you can project this to many things. But dear ones, you still can drop your karma, and those things may still be there. Oh, there's so much more. What is it that you can sense in your past lives that may give a hint to where you've been and what you've done? You can't read a book. It's not in a chronological order. So the things that stick out are energy. The energy of a past life drowning, it sticks out. What about these things? If you are here and later on your way to Nepal, the question may be, do you have a lifetime here? Do you resound to it? And then there would be those who say, well, I don't know how to begin that process. I don't feel anything. Dear ones, most of you won't feel anything. That's not the way it works. The Akashic record, dear ones, speaks not to the brain, not to the emotions. It speaks to the pineal. And the pineal then is responsible for intuitive flashes. And so a multidimensional energy of the Akash doesn't talk in a linear way so you can feel that you've been here. Let me tell you how it works, and then you can test yourself. When my partner was very small, his mother and father took him on a tour of a Navy ship, an old one. He was less than 10 years old. When they got into a certain place on the ship, he smelled old, stale diesel oil. His mother reacted and said, "We have to get out of here." My partner went, "Oh, yeah." He liked it. You see, it triggered memories, not of past lives, but the fact that the smell meant something. He had smelled that before. He liked it. Indeed, in the next years, on into the Kryon work, he had proof, as much proof as you can ever have in a linear way, that he was a sailor. and he died in World War II. These are the kinds of things the Akash is good at. When he learned that he was an Australian sailor, he said, "When I go to Australia, I'll try to feel something." He felt nothing. But then he took a harbor tour. And they had not yet replaced some very old buoys, the things that float in the water, that ring the bells, that warn of things, that will keep a channel clear at night and day. And that's where he saw it. There was a coat of arms. It was a visual on the buoy. Subsequently replaced completely, he recognized the coat of arms, an old one, and it was the one of his navy. This is how it works. The senses give it away. Smell, visual. That is what it is. And sounds. How will you react when you hear some of the things you're about to hear? Perhaps the metal bowls, the real ones, not the tourist ones. Perhaps the prayer wheels. Perhaps the voices or the incantations of those you call monks. That is audient. How will you react to sandalwood? How will you react to the visual of patterns, of mandalas, of things that you are going to see perhaps for the first time, but your brain will go, "Oh yeah, this is how to look." These are the things that will give away the fact you've been here. Now, not all of you have, dear ones. I know that. But some of you have. You will relate to it. There should be joy. And when you do, I want you to know this. There's nothing you have to do because of it. It is completely for your own enlightenment that your Akash is so grand that you've been here as an ancient, and you've touched the oneness of God and carried that right into this life, listening to this channel. That's profound. So as you tour the rest of the places on this, the Kryon tour, use your senses, not your linearity. And so it is.